All right, Tabusai, good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today, daf Lamed Aleph. A lot of very interesting sugyas. We are beginning. So today's daf is 31. We are beginning on Lamed Amud Beis, five lines up from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, I'm supposed to say now, this parak is getting a lot into the certain requirements of what we'll call judicial behavior. What's proper protocol for the dayan, and what's proper protocol ultimately again for the beis din? Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, minayin ledayan shlo yasa sanigoren ledvarov. Well, this is actually a very interesting statement. How do we know that a dayan should not go ahead and defend his words? Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Shelo yasa sanigoren ledvarov. In dan din v'libo no kfo lomar shutoe lo yachzik dvarov lahavi rayos lamidon shu bosh lachzor el kol tzadim yachzor lahotzi din lamito. Bosei, how do we know that if a dayan, a judge, realizes that the opinion that he is advancing is wrong? So I'll say, how do we know that he should not continue to advance it, but instead again he should admit he was wrong and rule correctly? And I will say, you understand, this is not just a din and a dayan. It's not just about judges. Unfortunately, situations like this for us are maisim b'choyom. Rabbi say, I realize that there's a shita or a hashkafa or an opinion that I have in life, and I'm wrong. But what happens? I've spent so much time either defending this opinion or so much time proving to everybody that I'm right that I'm simply unwilling to back down. And people perpetuate false. I know it's false. I know it's wrong. But I'm so invested in it that I can't back out. So how do I know that I'm not allowed to do this? So the Gemara says, Tamud lomar midvar sheker tirchak. Therefore the Pasuk says you should stay away from a dvar sheker. You should stay away from lies. Minayin ledayin shlo yishev tamid bar lefanov. How do we know that a dayin should not go ahead and have a tamid bar? Both say tamid bar means an unfit student. How do I know that a dayin should not mentor an unfit student, someone who is not appropriate, ultimately again to train to be a dayin? Tamid lomar midvar sheker tirchak. Distance yourself from lies. Minayin ledayin shlo yodeh lechaveru shu gazlon. We'll say, how do we know that a dayan who knows that his friend is a thief, or an aide, a witness, who knows that his friend is a thief, and now again, this other dayan wants to sit on the bench with the first, or the two of these guys know aides together and they want to testify together. How do I know that even though, my friend happens to be testifying correctly about this situation, but I know that he's a ganav. How do I know that I should not testify along with him? Tamud lomar midvar sheker tirchok. Therefore, the pasuk says, you shall distance yourself from a dvar sheker. Minayin ledayin shodeh b'din shu meruma. Well, say, how do I know that if a dayan knows that the particular case in front of him, the witnesses are lying? How do I know that if he knows that the witnesses are lying? So the Gemara says, "Shelo yomar hoil va'id me'idin achtechenu v'yek tapav lamed aleph ve'kolar tzav taloi b'tzavar edim." Well, say, how do I know that the dayan shouldn't say the following? Let's say the dayan is in the middle of the case and he realizes that the witnesses are lying. So we'll say, it's easy for the dayan to say, listen, you know what? It's not really my problem. At the end of the day, there are witnesses here. We're going to judge the case based on the witnesses. And if the witnesses are lying, then at the end of the day, that's their problem. Literally, again, let the kola, let the yoke be suspended around their neck. In other words, let them bear responsibility. Talmud lomar, midvar sheker tirchak. Therefore, the pasuk says what? The pasuk says, distance yourself from a lie. So we'll say, in all of these cases, these are situations where the dayan himself is not actively doing anything wrong, but instead there's an obligation here to distance yourself from false circumstances and from false situations. The Gemara goes weiter. Minayin l'tamach, we'll say lamed aleph amud aleph, four lines down. Minayin l'tamach yoshev l'tnei rabo v'roa zichus la'ani v'chov la'ashir. Minayin shelo yishtok. We'll say, how do I know? Listen to this. Let's say again, I'm a Talmud, I'm a student, and I'm sitting before my Rebbe, who is the Dayan. And what happens? My Rebbe is adjudicating the case. And let's say my Rebbe is about to rule in favor of the rich person and against the poor person. Now again, he's not because he's favoring the rich person. It just happens to be that's how the case is shaking out. But I, the Talmud, I'm sitting there in front of my Rebbe, and essentially, I see that there's a way to be malamid schus for the ani. I see that there's a way ultimately again to rule in favor of the person who's about to be found guilty. How do I know that I should not remain silent, even though again it's going to cause me to speak up in front of my Rebbe? Talmud lomar, midvar sheker tirchak. Therefore the pasuk says, distance yourself from a falsehood. If you see a falsehood that is about to be perpetrated, you must stand up. How do I know that if I'm a Talmud and sitting in front of my Rebbe, and I know that my Rebbe is about to make a mistake in judgment. So I shouldn't say, you know what, let the whole thing play out. Let him pass judgment, then I'll overturn my Rebbe's judgment and let the judgment known by my name. The Gemara says, "Tamalomar midvar sheker tirachach." So we'll say you see the same thing over and over. The idea of what's the message over here, midvar sheker tirachach? What the Gemara understands the Torah is saying is you can't. It's not just you're not allowed to lie. That's obvious. We'll see that later on. Actually, we don't need to see it later on. One is not allowed to lie, right? There's no machlokis about that, except when you can. There are circumstances where we're lying, we call it, there are circumstances where a person could change the truth. In this context, we can't lie. Midvar sheker tirchak rabosa means that not only can I not lie, but I have to distance myself from false situations. I cannot allow false situations to unfold. If I have the ability to stop or to prevent the actualization of falsehood, it is my obligation to do so. Weiter. Minayin l'talmid. She'amar lo rabo. So listen to this. How do I know about the following case? She'amar lo rabo. Yodeya atabi. Shemnostin li me'amana. Eini mevada. So how do I know that if my Rebbe tells me, listen, you know me to be an honest person, and if somebody gave me 100 mana, right, I would never go ahead and deny the claim. So listen to this. In other words, so my Rebbe tells me, you know I'm an honest person. Here's the deal. Yesh li eitz l'ploni, ve'ein li alav ela eid echad. I lent Ploni $1,000, and he's denying it. And all I have is an eid echad. All I have is one witness. Do me a favor. Just come to Beis Din, and be my second witness. You know me to be an honest person. I would never make something up. I'm telling you that I lent money to Reuven. I have one witness. I need a second. I know you didn't see it, but you could trust my integrity. We'll say, of course, again, it's an interesting case of integrity over here, right? At the end of the day, meaning the Gemara's case over here is someone who I know to be absolutely honest. Yet, technically, what is he doing? He's asking me to do something dishonest. But yet, he's relying on the fact that I trust his honesty, that he's not making up this claim. So the Gemara says, "Nashla yitzdarifimo, tamadlor medar sheker tirchak." How do I know that I can't combine, I can't go ahead and come to Beis Din with this other witness? Because the Torah says, "Medar sheker tirchak." The Gemara says, "Hai medar sheker tirchak nafka." Havadai shakuri kamashaker. Rabosei, that's a lie. That's meaning the cases of midvar sheker tirchak rabosei are cases where I see things that perhaps are false unfolding. I have to rectify it. Coming to Beis Din and saying that I'm a witness to something, when what? When I'm not a witness, as Rabbi said, is not simply distancing yourself from a Dvar Sheker, but rather, again, that's called lying. That's called lying, to which the Gemara says, Rachmana Amar, Lo Sa'ana Bre'acha Eit Sheker. The Torah itself says, do not be a false witness. This is Namishalav Daraisa. Elo Kigon Damar Le, Vadechad Sahada Isli, Vesa ata kum hasam velo temo velo midi. The lamavkis mi pumach shikra. People say, so what's the case over here? The case is where this great person, this honest person, tells me, listen, all I need you to do is show up and Beis Din. I don't need you to say anything. Right? The other aid, the real aid, Echad, will do all of the talking. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there and smile and look honest. Just look honest, right? Just look like an aide, whatever that means, right? Look like an aide, and you don't have to do any of the talking. So I'm not actually asked, I'm not being asked to lie. I'm just being asked to show up and present myself as part of a testimonial unit. Nevertheless, afilu achi aser, I'll say first wide line, lamed aleph. Nevertheless, what's the halacha? Afilu achi aser, mishum shenemar midvar sheker tirchak. Because we'll say the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak. Weiter, second line. So listen to this. Reuven comes over to me, and Reuven says the following. Reuven says, I went ahead and I lent Shimon a money. I'm going to go ahead and go to Beis Din, and at the end of b'masayim, but what's happening? Now Reuven says to me, Shimon's denying the claim. So Reuven has a great chap. We'll say, what's the chap? So he's going to go. I'm sorry. He's not denying the claim. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, or we'll call it a money. What happens? Reuven says, here's what I'm going to do. At the end of the Masayim, I'm going to go ahead and go to Bezin and claim that Shimon owes me 200 money. I lent him 100. I'm going to go and claim that he owes me 200. Now, what's going to happen when I claim that he owes me 200? What's going to happen? So, he's going to admit that I owe him 100. Both say, what do we call that? Modi b'miktzas. What's the halacha of modi b'miktzas? You're chayiv for the part that you admitted to, and you're chayiv a shvua for the other part. Now, why does Reuven want Shimon to take a shvua? V'yis chayiv li shvua, ve'agalgal alav shvua mimakom acher. Because Reuven says, listen, there's a whole bunch of other stuff, other claims that I have against Shimon that I need him to take a shavua on. But I can't get him to take a shavua. So instead, I'm going to claim he owes me 200. I know he only owes me 100. He'll admit to the 100. He'll have to take a shavua on the second 100. And once he's already taking a shavua, so we can do Gilgul shavua. Gilgul shavua means that we could attach. Thank you. We could include a whole other bunch of other things for him to swear on. Things that we could not generate independent obligations to swear on. Once he's already swearing, we could kind of lump on a whole bunch of other stuff. How do I know that I can't do this? Talmud Lomar, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Minayin L'noshe V'chaveir Amana. Boss, listen to this. How do I know that if I lend my friend Amana, V'tano Masayim, and I claim against him, right? And what happens? So both say, I lend Reuven a money. And what happens? Vitano Masayim, and I claim against him 200. Shalo Yomar Achparenu Bebezdin, Va'oldo Lachutz Lebezdin, Kadesh Lo Eschayiv Lo Shvua, Velo Yigalgil Alai Shoem Okamach. So let's listen to this. Reuven, who is the borrower, has a great chap. Reuven says, listen, I know I owe a silver 100, but here's what I'm going to do. In Beis Din, I'm just going to deny the full amount. We'll say, what happens if you're kofer bakol? Kofer bakol, if you deny everything, right, you deny the entire monetary claim, then what happens? You are potter. There is no shavua. So I lent Reuven $100. I come to Beis Din, I'm claiming 200. Reuven knows that he really owes me 100, but he figures like this. If I admit to the 100, what's going to happen? There's going to be a shavua molde b'miktzas. Reuven says, I don't want to take a shavua. So instead, I'll just claim, silver, I owe you nothing. When we walk out of Beis Din, I'll slip him a money. Right, I'll pay him back, but I don't want to go out and be chayv a shvua. How do I know that I can't do this? Talmud Lomar Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, "Distance yourself from sheker." So we'll say again, same yisod over here. Here's what's interesting: in these cases, if you'll notice, I know this sounds a little bit funny, my intentions are honest. Right? Meaning, if you notice over here, I'm not really trying to pull any kind of shtick. I'm not trying to get anything that I'm not entitled to. What I'm doing is, I'm manipulating the system to ultimately, again, to my advantage. But I'm not trying to get any more money than I'm entitled to. So the Gemara says, these are the kind of things that are very easily justifiable, because it's not, quote-unquote, dishonest. Except that what? The Torah says, it is. Meaning, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Just because at the end of the day you're not extracting any more than you're entitled to, manipulation of the system is still inappropriate. That it might not be sheker, but it might be devar sheker. And therefore you have to distance yourself from that as well. Minayin l'shlosha, we also listen to this case. How do I know that the three, these are great cases. Minayin l'shlosha, shenoshim mani b'chavero, mani b'echad. So let's listen to this. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi lend me a mana. The three of them together lend me a mana. Now, what happens? They both say there was no edus on the transaction. So they have a great chap. What's the great chap? So how do I know that three of them say the following? They have a great chap. What's the great chap? Reuven says, let's go to Beis Din. I'll say I'm the lender. Shimon and Levi, you're the witnesses. I will get the money back from silver. Now, both say the truth is, it's not an incorrect statement, meaning at the end of the day, here's the difference. If you are the balabas, right, if you're the claimant, then by definition, you're not a witness. So, but on the other hand, so we have three claimants. I wanted to say, one of us will be the claimant, two of us will be the witnesses, and we'll get the money back. So the Gemara says, Tamal Omar, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. No, can't do it. Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So we'll say, is it a lie? No, but it's a dvar sheker. We'll say it's dishonest. So interestingly enough, what you see over here, the Gemara highlighting over here, is that at the end of the day, because we'll say, remember, what this case by definition includes is a misrepresentation. You see, this has Reuven showing up as the claimant, and Shimon and Levi showing up as non-claimants, but instead as impartial witnesses. That's the misrepresentation over here. At the end of the day, are they trying to get back any more than what they're entitled to? No. But it's dishonest in the representation of the facts. Therefore, the Torah says, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Minayin L'shtayim Shebo L'din. Let's listen to this. How do you know that two people show up in court? Reuven and Shimon show up in court. Again, they're the claimants, the plaintiff and the defendant. Echad Lavush Smartutin. Echad Lavush Itzilis Basmei Amana. One is showing up in literally dressed in rags, and the other is dressed, comes in fine clothing. Minayin She'omrim Lo. How do we know that we say to the wealthy person, either Lavush Kamoso, or he'll be shuv kamosecha. We'll say, this is amazing. We say to the wealthy individual, here's your choice. Either change into rags, or give the other guy a nice outfit. In other words, we'll say, you cannot have a situation where you have the two parties in court, and there's a clear disparity in their financial or social standing based on their external appearances. Therefore, again, we tell the wealthier of the two, you've got a choice. Either change it to simpler clothing, or give the other guy an outfit for him to turn into, to change into. So the Gemara says, how do we know that we have to do this? Talmud Lomar, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Because we'll say, if there's too great of a disparity in the external appearance between the two litigants, it looks as if the case itself is tilted. Kihavu, listen to this. Kihavu also came to Rava Barafuna. When litigants would come before Rava Barafuna and they were wealthy, Amar Luhu Shlufu Puzmu Kaihu Vachosu Ladina. Take off your fine linen slippers and come in for dinner. Both said this wasn't a din of being makbid not to come into the house with shoes on. Right? This was a din of creating a certain amount of equality between the litigants. So if somebody came in wearing something, puzmukayim were apparently fine linen slippers. If you came into Beis Din wearing that, Rabbi Ravuna would say, leave it at the door. So how do we know that a dayan is not permitted? Well, this is actually a very important halacha. How do we know that a dayan is not permitted to listen to one of the litigants before the other one arrives in court? We'll say, let's say again, one of the claimants comes in early. He comes in early. How do I know that the dayan is not permitted to listen to him before the other one arrives? To which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Therefore, the Pasuk says, distance yourself from Sheker. Minayin lebaldin shlo yatim dvar v'ladayin, kodim shiyavo baldin chavero. But say, how do I know? So we'll say, that was the dayin, right? The dayin can't listen to one of the sides before the other party arrives in Beis Din. We'll say, that's the dayin. How do I know that the baldin? We'll say, I have a dispute with Reuven, and we're coming to Beis Din. I get to Beis Din a little bit early, and I start telling over my side to the dayin. So the first case was the dayin is not allowed to listen. How do I know that I, as the litigant, am not permitted to start advancing my argument to the dayin before my fellow litigant occurs? To which the Gemara says, Tam lomar, midvar sheker tirchok. So again, the obligation is upon the dayun not to listen to one of the parties before the other one arrives, and the obligation is upon each of the parties not to advance their arguments before the other one arrives. Rav Kahana Masni Milo Sisa Lo Sasi. Suppose it's actually very interesting. So Rav Kahana Darshanist, based on the following, the Pasuk says, Lo Sisa Shema Shav. Literally, again, do not go ahead. It literally means do not take God's name in vain. But I will say, what Rav Kahana is saying is, do not give false testimony. So it's Lo Sisa means don't do it. Lo Sasi means do not cause it to be heard. So Rav Kahana says one prohibition is on the dayon, that the dayon can't listen to one of the litigants before both are present. And Lo Sasi is on the litigants themselves. I can't hear, I can't cause my side to be heard before the other party is present. Vasher lo tov, so the Gemara quotes now over here, a pasuk from Yechezkel. Vasher lo tov asa besoch amav. The person is referring to a person. Asher lo tov asa besoch amav. He did not do good, or he did not cause good to be performed within his nation. Who is that? Rav Amar Bo said, this is amazing. Zeh habar baharsha. He will say, this is someone who allows himself to be represented by a lawyer in Beis Din, right? He did not do good. If you call out something represented by lawyers, we'll say, what is this, a knock on lawyers? No. What it is, we'll do that later. But the Gemara says, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. This is actually quite amazing. Zabar bar Shah, umisabre ariv lo. So what happens, we'll say, I have a din Torah. I appoint the lawyer to go and argue on my behalf. Chazal don't look at this favorably. Why? V'shem ha'rishon noach lo. V'noach l'pshara Yoser mizeh she'ino yochal lasos pshara b'mamon achirim. Rosh, listen to this. If I go to Beis Din myself, I, as the litigant, in the eyes of the Gemara, I am more prone to pshara. In other words, I would be more receptive, ultimately, again, to settle, or more receptive to a compromise. If someone else is representing me, so first of all, again, that person may not be empowered to make pshar on my behalf, and also, sometimes that person may not be as desirous of shalom as I am. So therefore, again, Chazal did not look favorably, ultimately, again, upon being represented by someone else. But say this doesn't cover cases where, let's say, there are situations where I can't represent myself because of a variety of reasons, either because of a lack of knowledge of the complexity of the laws in which I'm stood, or a variety of other reasons. That's not what it's talking about. This is not a situation where I can represent myself. I can, but for whatever reason, it's just I choose not to. Chazal didn't look favorably upon that because there was a feeling that there's less of a chance of compromise. Shmuel, the Gemara says, Rav Amar bar Rasha, Ushmuel Amar Zeh Lokeach Sada Sheish Lavasigin. Shmuel says, this refers to someone, Rabosai, who buys contested property. If you buy contested property, so you know that there are claims against this property, and you go ahead and you buy it anyway, and why do you buy it? If you look at the last line of Rashi, Rashi says, Sheish Lavasigin, Rashi says, Uboteach Al Chasko Shu Ish Zroa. I rely on the fact that I have muscle. And if anybody starts up with me, I'm just going to beat them up. That's not a good way to live, right? That's not an appropriate thing. You shouldn't enter into business dealings, Rabosei, where it's contested, where there are people who are claiming that it's not honestly owned. And therefore, Chazal said, this is the person who does lo tov besoch amav. Fine. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said that the Shvuah Sa'idos only applies to people who have the ability to testify. So says the Gemara, Lafuke Mai, who does this come to exclude? Amra Papa Lafuke Melech, to come to exclude the king. Bose, when it comes to the king, the Pasuk says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech. You have to place a king upon you, and we dash in from there, Shetehe Amaso Alecha. That ultimately, again, the reverence of the king, the fear of the king, should be upon you. Bose, someone who comes to give testimony has to stand before a Beis Din. Therefore, again, it is inappropriate, based on the station, the honor of the king does not give testimony. The king can't be called to give testimony. And therefore, I will say, because of that, the king can't give testimony, then what? Then he can't be called upon to take a Shvuah Sa'idus. Because remember, what's a Shvuah Sa'idus? Shvuah Sa'idus says, I can cause someone to swear that they don't know testimony on my behalf. So the king, because he can't be called upon to give testimony because it's a slight to his honor, also isn't chayiv in Shvuah Sa'idus. So the Gemara says, Racha bar Yaakov Amar, Lafuki Misachik Bekuvya. No, it comes to include who Rabbi Osai? Comes to include the habitual gambler. The habitual gambler, Bosei, so we learned this earlier on, that the Mesachik Bekuvya is Pasala Edis Midirabanon. Mandar Mesachik Bekuvya called Shekei Melech, the one who says that the Mesachik Bekuvya, Bosei, is Pater from Shua Sa'idos. Because what? Because he's unfit to give testimony. All the more so agrees that a king does make the Shua Sa'idos for Bosei, because remember, the king is prohibited in Midoraisa. Right? Somta Simalach HaMelech, the obligation to give the king honor and not do anything that erodes his honor is a biblical precept. So if the Mesachik Bekuvya doesn't take the Shvuah Sadayonin, all the more so the king does not. Uman Tamar Melech, Ava Mesachik Bekuvya Midoraisa Mechsachazi V'Rabbanon Hu Devaslua. Rabbi said, the one who says that the king is excluded may hold that the Mesachik Bekuvya can, what Rabbi say, can give testimony. Why? Because the Mesachik Bekuvya is only Asr Midirabbanon. Fine. Bifnei Bezim, Shal Bifnei Bezim. So let's remember again, we had a machlokis over here about what the nature of Shuas Hadayonin is inside of Bezim and outside of it. So let's listen to this. So let's remember again, the Mishnah recorded the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So what are they arguing about? Watch this, Rabbi. The Gemara says, Bidon Minei Umina, Bidon Mina V'uki Ba'asra Kameflegi. Rabbi, listen to this. What they are arguing about is as follows. Rabbi, we've actually seen this exegetical machlokis before, which is as follows. When you learn something out, Rabbi, say, from another place. So let's say again, I learn out B from A based on Gzeir Shava. Right? Matter B from matter A based on Gzeir Shava. Rabbi, there's a fundamental machlokis, an exegetical machlokis, as to how far I take that Gzeir Shava. So some say, Don Minei Umina. So some say, Don Minei Umina means, Rabbi, say, once I learn out B from A, based on Gzeir Shava, I could extend that Gzeir Shava even further than the basic law learned out. That's don minei umina. As opposed to don minei v'oki basra means I can learn out B from A, but the limon rabose is limited to that one thing. For the rest of the halachos of B, we go back to the original source of B and learn out the remainder of the halachos from there. So rabose, you'll see it play out right now. So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir holds don mina umina. Maybe don. Rabbi Meir will say, as Jab's the principle, that we're going to learn out Shvus Hadayonin from Pikadon, from the case of a deposit. And I will say, don't be nominated, we take the Gzer Shava, and we can extend it even further out. How so? Ma Pikadon, Moshon Biatzmo Chayiv, just like Rabbi Meir will say, Pikadon. If a person takes the Shvua on their own, they're going to be Chayiv. Af Eidos, Moshon Biatzmo Chayiv. Rabbi Meir will say, so to Shvuas Eidos, if a person takes the Shvua of their own volition, they'll be Chayiv. Umina, and I will say we extend the Gzir Shav, and we say as follows, Ma Pikadon, Bein Babazin, Bein Shalom Babazin, just like Shuas HaPikadon, whether you take that Shavua in Babazin or outside of Babazin, you'll be Chayiv, Av Eidos, Bein Babazin, Bein Shalom Babazin, ultimately, on Shuas say this, I will say as well, whether you take that Shavua in Babazin, outside of Babazin, you'll be Chayiv. V'Rabbanon will say, V'Rabbanon and Savri, Don Umina, Va'oki Basra, go ahead and learn it out from the source, but establish it in its original place. What does that mean? Ma pikadon mushoi biatzmo chayiv, just like pikadon Rabbi say, if you take the shvo yourself, you're chayiv. Af edus mushoi biatzmo chayiv. But say so too by shuas edus, if you take the shvo of your own volition, you'll be chayiv. Vuki basra, Rabbi say, now learn the remainder of the halachas of shuas edus, not out from pikadon, but rather ultimately again from shuas edus. Ma mushoi biachirim bebeizdin and shlo bebeizdin lo. Just like Rabbi say, if the shvuah is administered by others, that only works in beizdin, but outside of beizdin not. Af mushoi biatzmo bebeizdin in shlo bebeizdin lo. So to Rabbi say, in a case of mushoi biatzmo, you take the shvuah yourself, it only works in beizdin, but not outside of beizdin. Rabbi say, amud beiz. Amudu rat papa. So Rabbi papa says, one second. Imi pikadon gami lo rabbanon. So imi pikadon gamri lo, imi pikadon gamri lo rabbanon. So we'll say if you're going to say that rabbanon learn out from pikadon, the kuli amalo pliyi the don mina umina. Everyone will agree that Rabbi will say what that you can learn the gzeirah shava and you could extend the gzeirah shava. Ela haynu time of the rabbanon, but perhaps the reasoning of the rabbanon is as follows: the maisula bekavachomer. We'll say perhaps it has the kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? If you're going to be chayiv ultimately mipi achirim, so certainly you'll be chayiv mipi atzmo. Whenever you learn how to kavachomer, so the principle of dayo. What's the principle of dayo? The Rabbi say the thing you're learning out can be no more chomer than the source item from which you are learning, and therefore we'll say ma mushum mipi achirim bebeizdin in. Shloba Beizdin Lo. But in the case of Mushroom Epiachirim, the halacha is that oath could only be administered in Beizdin, but not outside of Beizdin. Af Mushroom Epiatzmo, Mipi Beizdin in, Shloba Beizdin Lo. So Terebo say, if you're taking the oath yourself, that oath could only be administered in Beizdin itself, but not outside of Beizdin. Armole Rabbanon Rapapa, Mi Matis Amris, Tala Bidon Mina Umina Pligi. Could it be that you're going to say that the machlokes and Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is not about the principle of don mina umina? Vatan Rabbi Meir, but we learn Vatan Game Pikadon Shvas Pikadon. Rabbi Meir, we'll see. This is a latter Mishnah. When it comes to Shvas Pikadon, Rabbi Meir, Shvas Pikadon means somebody deposited something with me, and now I'm taking a shvuah that that item is no longer in my possession. So the Gemara says we learned about Shvas Pikadon. No heges ba'anoshim ubenoshim. It applies to both men and women. Berechokin ubikrovin with people who are related to me, unrelated to me. Bikshena bepsulin with people who are kasha leedus, pasal leedus. Bifnei beizin v'shalo bifnei beizin. In the presence of beizin, not in the presence of beizin. Mi pi atzmo umi pi achirim. Both rabbis say again, whether I take the shvuah or the shvuah is administered by others. Eino chayiv ad sheyichpar bebeizin div Rabbi Meir. Meir holds rabbis say that I'm not chayiv for shvuas hapikadon until again I deny it in beizin. The chachamim say bein mi pi atzmo, bein mi pi achirim, kevan shekafar bo chayiv. Was at the end of the day, whether I go ahead and I take the oath myself whether I go ahead and I go ahead and the oath is administered by others. Kivan shekafar bo chayiv. Ultimately, again, if I deny it, I'm going to be chayiv. I Moshe and Piachir and because of Menalu the Rabbanim the Chayiv. Where did the Rabbanim get this idea, Rabbi Osai? That if I mushba mi Piachir and by case of Pikadon, that I'll be Chayiv. Lav di gamri la meedus. Rabbi Osai, it must be that what? That I'm learning it out from the case of Shua Seedus. And therefore, what do you see? Ushma mina. What do I learn from here? Bidon mina u mina pligi. Rabbi Osai, that the machlokis ultimately again is regarding the principle of don mina u mina, to which the Gemara says, Shamina, excuse me. Shamina bedin bedon mina mina pligi. Me'ahi in me'ahel lekalashin rabbi. So the Gemara says inochinami. From this mishnah, ultimately again about shua sapikadon, I could go in and learn that out. Ultimately again, but from the previous mishnah, I could not. So bottom line, halacha lemaisa. How do we paskin? So the halacha is the halacha. Ultimately again, is like the chachamim, which means what rabbi say that when it comes to shua sa'idos, whether I am taking the Shua Bosai, mi pi asma pi achayim. So remember again, there are two ways in which I could take a Shua Sa'idus. What are the two ways? Either I myself swear, I swear that I don't know any Eidus for Ruvain, or we'll say what happens? Someone else makes, articulates the Shua, and what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I say Amen. So we'll say either way, that's called Shua Sa'idus. But again, we pass like the Chachamim, that Shavua could only be taken in Beis Din itself. Shavua Sa'id is supposed to be taken outside of Beis Din is absolutely meaningless. It is only the Shavua that is taken inside of Beis Din that is a meaningful Shavua, like the Chachamim. Good. Weiter. The Chayavin Azadon HaShavua will say, I'm Chayiv for intentional violation of this Shavua. So says the Gemara, Hechi Dami. I'm sorry, I mean, Hanimili. How do I know this? So we'll say, what this means is the following. That if I intentionally lie, meaning Reuven says, Silber, come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf because you know testimony for me. I say, no, I don't. And I'm lying. I do know Eidus. But I'm choosing not to get involved. How do I know? Both say, so the halacha is, I'm still chayav a carbon ole viore. How do I know this? The Tanur Rabbanon, Bekulan, Ne'emar, Behevenelam. Both say, in the other cases, ultimately of carbon ole viore, it says, Ve'ne'elam, that ultimately, when do you bring the carbon? If the truth is hidden from you. In other words, that you forgot, they can't, but I was about Shavua Sa'idos, lo ne'emar ba v'ne'elam. It doesn't use the word v'ne'elam, therefore it teaches me what? L'chayiv ala mezid kishogeg. But it teaches me that what? That I'm chayiv for a case of mezid, like a case of shogeg. And if I was say, aloch l'maisa, this is quite dramatic. Even if I intentionally lie, I know, right, Reuven says, Silber, come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf. And what do I say? What do I say? Reuven, I swear I don't know any testimony. And I both say, I know that what? I'm mamish lying. I absolutely know Eidos. Yet, what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? I'm still chayiv a carbon olma v'yored. How do I know this? Because the pasuk doesn't say v'ne'alam, that it was hidden from me by the case of Shua Sa'idos. Good.
Is that the kapara?
That's the halacha. That's the halacha. Does that atone for the sin? I guess so. So it says, yeah, I guess if that's your ownership, that's your kapara as well. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Ve'in chayovin al shirgasa gredasa." So we're saying, I am not chayiv ultimately again for plain shogig. As we'll say, so a case of shogig ultimately again will be a situation where lemais again at the time I took the shvua, I mamish didn't remember that I knew Eidos on behalf of Reuven. I didn't realize that I know Eidos on behalf of Reuven. Later on, I remember. So the Gemara says, I'm not going to be chayiv carbon all of yard in that case. Leima tanina l'dravkana v'dravasi. We'll say, remember again, in like 2 days ago. We had the case of Rav Kana and Rav Asi. What was the case of Rav Kana and Rav Asi, Rabbi Osai? It was Rav Kana and Rav Asi both heard the shir from Rav. Remember this case? And what happens? After the shir, they are having a machlokes about what Rav said. So Rav Kahana got up and Rav Kana said, I swear Rav said like this. Rav Asi said, I swear Rav said like this. Rav came, one of them was right, one of them was wrong. And I think Gemara doesn't identify who was right, who was wrong. And what happens, Rav Osai? So the one who was wrong said to Rav Rebbe, Did I make a false shvua? So Rav said, no. Libcha ansach. Your heart, literally again, ansach. Your heart took advantage of it. In other words, no, you made a mistake. So says the Gemara. Lema tenei Rav Kana Rav Asi. To which the Gemara says, so what? Look at Rashi just a moment. Lema tenei Rav Kana Rav Asi. Tehecha disavar lishava be'emes. Eino chayiv. We'll say, why don't we learn that from here? Why didn't we answer? Why didn't the Gemara answer? Rav Kana Rav Asi's problem from this Gemara. What does this Gemara teach us about? Say that if I think I'm swearing correctly, but it turns out that I swore falsely, that I'm not chayiv for that. So why don't we answer? Why did Rav have to come along and make them feel better? The fact that what's the halacha say? If Reuven says silver, you know edus for me, and I say no, I don't. And at the time, and I swear to that effect, and at the time that I swore, I mamish didn't remember that I knew edus for Reuven. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha is that I am potter. So this seems to be a mefurisha answer to Rav Kana Rav Asi's problem. Both of them. Sorry. Both of them swore. But it was at the end of the day, they both thought that they were saying the truth. So neither should be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, afagav disnan, it's trich." Even though we could have learned this out from the Mishnah, Rav was still required to say what he said. Why? Sagadai tchamina pachu delok sivneelam deba inon shogeg dumya demezid. I would have said it's dafka in the case of Shua Saidus, where ultimately, again, the pasuk does not write vneelam that you require a case of shogeg dumya demezid. Aval hasa, but Rabosai in the previous case, which essentially was a shuas bitoy, dechsev vneelam. Afilu shkaga kol tu. I might have thought Rabosai said that one should be chayiv even for any amount of shkaga. Therefore, again, or I should say that look at Rashi. Afilu shkaga kol tu. Afilu anus belibonus chayiv. That even Rabosai, if again he was not mishnonis, he would be chayiv. Kamash malon no. So what's essentially what the Gemara says over here is you can't really learn out shvuas bitoy from shvuas edus for one simple reason, that at the end of the day, by the case of shvuas edus, the Torah used lashon of vneelam, which. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. By Shvuas Aidos, the Torah does not say a lashon of vneelam, as opposed to Shvuas Bitui, which it does. Therefore, I might have thought that the threshold for Shvuas Bitui would be more intense. Kamash Mulan Rav tells Rav Kana Rav Asi that since at the time you took the Shvuah, you thought that you were telling the truth, therefore, Lamaise, again, you will not be Chayiv. Fine. Shvuas Aidos says in Mishnah. Shvuas Aidos case. Shvuas Aidos, still one more Mishnah of Shvuas Aidos. What is the case of Shvuas Aidos? So what's the mechanics of Shvuas Aidos? Amar l'shnayim. So I say, here's how it unfolds. I say to two people, Bo veiduni. I say to two witnesses, I say to Reuven and Shimon, you know testimony on my behalf, come and testify for me in front of Beis Din. What do they say? Shvua she'in anu yodin l'cha Aidos. So what happens? Reuven and Shimon say, silver, we swear, we don't know any Aidos on your behalf. Osha amru lo ein anu yodin l'cha Aidos. Or Rabbi say, what happens? So Rabbi say, case number one is, I say, Reuven and Shimon come and testify on my behalf. And what's their response? Their response is, we swear, we know no testimony on your behalf. That's case number one. Case number two is, Osha amru lo ein adin yodin l'cha Aidos. Reuven and Shimon, I say, Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din. And Reuven and Shimon say, I'm so sorry, we don't know any Aidos on your behalf. I say, Mashbi ani aleichem. I articulate the Shon. I make you swear that you know no Eidos on my behalf. Ve'amru amen, and they say amen. So, Rabbi, that's a case of mushpa mepi acherim. Hare elu chayavim. Rabbi, and it turns out that they're lying. They know Eidos. So, what's the halacha? Rabbi, they'll be chayiv for lying. Hishpi aleim chamish pamim chutz lebeis. Rabbi, listen to this. Let's say that I made them swear five times outside of Beis Din. They swore five times that they don't know any Eidos on my behalf. Ubo leidos b'Beis Din, and they come to Beis Din. And what happens to when they come to Beis Din? Vahodu. Rabbi say, Hodu means what? They admit that they know testimony on my behalf. Rabbi say, what's the halacha? Pturin. Rabbi say, what's their potter? Rabbi say, why are they potter? This goes to what we just said before, because we pass like the Chachamim. How do we pass in Rabbi say? That Shvuas Eidos can only be undertaken in Beis Din, which means any Shvuas Eidos that you take outside of Beis Din, Rabbi say, is meaningless. Therefore, their potter. Kafru Chayav and Akal Achas V'Achas. So we'll say again, we'll define these cases in the Gemara, if they go ahead and they deny, right? If they go ahead and they deny that they know any Ezdus in Beis Din, they'll be chayav for each and every one of the Shuas. So we'll say, we'll discuss the mechanics of that case in the Gemara. Hishbi alein heipam ifnei Beis Din. We'll say, but let's say again, I made them take 5 Shvuas in front of Beis Din, v'kafru, and I will say, then they deny that they know any Eidos. So they swore 5 times in front of Beis Din that they know Eidos. They swore 5 times that they don't know any Eidos. And they made the shur in front of Beis Din, v'kafru, and I will say, they deny they know any Eidos. And it turns out that they're liars. Einon chayoven ela achos. The Rebbe said, they are only chayiv once. They are only chayiv once. So the Gemara says, what's the reason? Because essentially, once they take the first Shavua, then what? Then what? They're done. In other words, we'll say, the halacha is, when we'll discuss this in greater depth in the Gemara, there's a concept by Edom of Kevan Shehigid, Shuv Eino Chozer Yachal Lahagid. Once a witness gives testimony, he can't recant that testimony. Therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, once he's taken the first Shavua, essentially the subsequent Shavuas are meaningless. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kafru Shtein, we'll say, actually, you know what? We'll stop over here for today. I know I'm stopping in the middle of the Mishnah, but we'll stop in the middle of the Mishnah. I'll continue over here tomorrow. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.